Exactly. It's all about ad-libbing, right? So I've been here a couple of times. Have some of you been here when I've spoken? So I'm going to try not to duplicate everything that we talked about the last time. But one of the things I thought I'd start off with this morning was to kind of just talk about my own personal venture and journey for just a minute. Because it's easy to get up here and talk about what you should be doing, and I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I do work with companies and candidates every day. So I am, I think, qualified to help assist, facilitate, answer your questions. So 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I'd worked for 30 years plus. And I was working for a company in Dallas called Intervoice. And it was an interactive voice response technology company. And I was on vacation with my family. And my boss called me while I was on vacation on the 4th of July and said, "Kurt, you don't need to come home from vacation. I've eliminated your job." And so we all have our stories of what's happened and how we got to where we're at today. But that day, I made a decision that I was done working for corporate America. I was never going to go back. I didn't know if I was going to go open a convenience store, or if I was going to open a dry cleaning store, or if I was going to sweep streets. But I was done with corporate America. It was, I had worked too hard to try to satisfy the needs of people that you never could do good enough, right? So I made one phone call, and that was to a friend of mine that owned an executive search company, and I really was just calling to tell him I was back on the bench again. And he said, "Kurt, you'd be great at search. Why don't you consider coming up to Galena, Illinois, and taking a look at our business?" So long story short, went up there, but at the time, Galena, Illinois is out Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, right in the corner. Population 5,000 summer, 1,000 winter. I had a senior in high school that was a captain of the gymnastics team. I had a daughter that was a freshman in high school. I had commuted to Chicago for 4.5 years. Every Monday I got up and flew to Chicago, traveled the world, came home every Friday, and there's just no way I could do that commute again. So I just told them that I appreciated it, but I couldn't do it. I wasn't going to move my family up there, and I couldn't do a commute. Excuse me. Came home, told some friends that I was looking at the search business, and they told me that I ought to talk to Paula Calise because she had just started her own practice. And Paul and I met for coffee, and about 15 minutes into the conversation, she said, "Kurt, why don't you just join me as my partner? So 5.5 years ago, 5 years ago, we launched Calise & Company that now today is called Linked Executive Search. So we changed the name, got her name off of it, so that we can take the company to the next level. In the middle of all that, my wife of 25 years came home one day and said, "Get out of the house. I don't want to be married to you anymore." I only share that with you because I'm broken too, okay? Now, I'm in a better place than I've been in a real long time, so I'm not up here to give my testimony. If you want to hear that, I can do that another time. And I have done my testimony. And I truly am in a better place. I really, really am. It's a different place than I wanted to be at this stage in my life, but I'm in a better place. But again, I only share that with you because I think it's so important that you understand there are a lot of speakers and awesome people that volunteer their time to come up here and put their heart on the line and to share information and give you all the support and prayer that you can get. But I too am broken, and I've been in your shoes. And so with that, I want you to know that I'm humbled to be able to come up here and talk to you this morning. My objective today is that if you all, not individually, can get maybe one little tidbit out of what I have here to say today and can take something home new that you haven't heard from somebody else, and we've hit a home run today. This is your meeting. This isn't about Kurt. This is about you. So what I have to say today, if there's any questions you've got, I prefer you to raise your hand and ask the question now and early in the process than to try to save it to the end. So this is I want this to be an interactive presentation. So I'm going to go back here. Maybe I can't. I wrote a presentation tonight, which I normally don't do. See if I can get it back on my screen here. And it was really about what I prepared last night was to talk to you about the components of a job search. Okay? Because I think that we all get sometimes lost in the sense of where we should be doing and what we should be doing. And it really comes down to a lot of basics. You all are at different stages of your search. So Robert, he may be 6 months into his search and has got a couple of offers that he's negotiating. And Steve may have just gotten laid off and is just starting. So I recognize that every one of us are at different phases of this search and where we're at and what we're doing today. So there's, you know, the things again that I want to share are more top line, foundational than being able to address one individual person because we're all different places. So the first thing that I think is really important as you enter into a search, and this can be done at any time in your search, is really the foundation work. And that is the digging into your own inner self to identify what your own values are, what your own objectives are, what your own goals are. Okay? And I think that that is really, really important. I told you a little bit about my story, and the key there was is that I made a decision that I wasn't going to work for corporate America anymore. I had 18 years of consumer packaged goods business experience, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, 7-Up. Two companies, 18 years. A recruiter, somebody would say, that's a good background, okay? I left consumer packaged goods, I went into technology. Joined Craig McCaw to do the wireless stuff back in the early AT&T days. And then I did a whole bunch of startup companies. Not such a great track record because I was, every 2 years, I was changing jobs because I was in the startup environment. Okay? But where I'm getting at is I made a decision I was done with corporate America. So I set my values and my goals for my last search as far as finding something that I could do and would never have to go through a search again if I had any control of it, okay? So I just encourage you to take that reflective time. Go sit in a park. Go find a quiet place. Probably not a Starbucks. Probably not in your family room with the basketball game on. Anybody watch that game last night? You know, wow. Wow. I don't know who you're all cheering for. I'll give you a little hint. The one that won was who I was cheering for. I'm from Michigan. I was born in Ann Arbor, but I'm not a Michigan fan. I hope I don't offend anybody with that. But bottom line, I'm really excited about that. And just when you talk about the energy and the passion and the innocence, I think, I like to think, the innocence of college basketball was so refreshing. Both teams won, in my opinion. I mean, to get to that point, amazing. But back to your job search, the foundation of finding the values and what you really want to do and where you want to do it and who you want to do it with, and writing that down and capturing that is so important because that is something that you can reflect on for throughout your job search, okay? You can always go back to that. So capture it, write it down, save it. Here we go. Hold on just a second here. Give me 1 second. Any questions thus far? I mean, it could be a random question while I'm pulling this thing up. Anybody got any random recruiter questions? Somebody's always got something that, yeah.
This is just interesting because I think after we attend a lot of the job hunting, you learn all the tricks on salary negotiation. And what I've been finding, unless it's a company where the thing is published, I've had trouble of getting through like the board interview and finding out like the money was less than I was earning in 1995.
Right.
And they say never say it. So now I've heard the word maybe you're supposed to find out if there's salary and benefits. And I've also been given the line, your salary has to be lower because, you know, you're taking the benefits and this other person's not taking the benefits. And I never horse traded my benefits like that.
Right.
The small companies, what I'm saying, they're breaking all the rules. And it just, so I don't know. It kind of shattered everything that I practiced, but it sure wasted a month.
Right.
Finding out that there's no money there.
Right. Good point. And I think that what you're talking about is again, smaller companies typically, because it's harder to find those informational interviews to get to somebody that maybe have worked at that company that you can get some of that
family
information. Family, yeah. My advice in you know, every situation is different. But my advice in those particular situations is if you're working with a recruiter, then get the information up front as far as what it is. If you're not, there's nothing wrong early in the stage, not day one, maybe day two, maybe interview two, to find somebody that you're talking to in the organization just to say, you know, I just don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. I am in love with what I see here. But can we have a brief discussion up front about some of the basics as it relates to this opportunity, salary, benefits? I know we shouldn't go there this early, but those are things that are pretty important to me. I can make exchanges, but they're important. So let's have that discussion. So has anybody else experienced that before? It can be really tricky and it can be really corny and it can be really hard. So, but I encourage you, and if you have a question about that and you're in that situation again, call me and I'll try to guide you through that dialogue before you have it. But I think you should going forward. You've learned that lesson and have that discussion earlier than later.
Also, I think I need a bigger place.
Yeah.
If everybody's like family, or, you know,
yep,
you know, you may not be able to get the crowbar to get in there. So.
And that may be a part of her foundation, that she's realizing that a family-owned business in a smaller organization isn't somewhere where she can succeed and be successful and find the value that she's looking for. And it's not all money all the time. There's a lot of other intricacies that fit into a job that make us happy and productive. So, good. Yes, sir?
Kurt, I was just going to comment that a lot of times, if it's a larger, not a family run, but a larger company, there might be an entry level, like a human resources contact person.
Yep.
So it's not the hiring,
yep,
manager, and you can have some of the range discussions with that individual. And the company is looking to hire good people. They're not looking to exclude everybody. And, you know, it depends on your situation, but companies are looking for the right fit. They're not looking to exclude everybody that's trying to apply.
Yeah, so, you know, and again, these salary questions are really queer and they're hard to have. I tell stories. I have a company I work with out of Louisiana, small family-owned business. I've put a couple of salespeople in there. Three people went in yesterday for interviews for an ops position. This young man and I have had lots of discussions because he doesn't fit into one position. He could do a couple of the positions. And he sent a note back to the hiring manager, the owner of the company, last night and said, I really enjoyed myself, but I got to understand more about what this job pays. Okay? Well, he had a recruiter to talk to about that, and I so wish he had called me. Okay? Instead, he decided to take it to the company. They called me this morning at 7 o'clock and said, have you not talked to him about the salary? And I said, I have. But let's not look at this as a negative. Let's make it a positive. Let me get on the phone with Adam and have a dialogue with him and see if I can't get a little bit more information for you as far as what his expectations, his needs are. I'll explain to him where we're at and so forth. But it can be difficult and it can come off as a negative. And if you don't have a recruiter in the middle of it to help guide those discussions, it can be difficult. Okay. So we talked about values, interests, skills. Those are the things that make us tick. That's our foundation. Capture that information. Get it on paper so that you can go back and reflect on it, refer to it throughout your search. Because it's just really important. Yeah, and it's just not popping up. Second thing I want to talk about is just, again, these are foundation things. It's just getting organized, okay? So, you know, I talk to a lot of candidates, and they've been out for 3 or 4 months. I'm going to send you my resume. Can you take a look at it and give me any advice? Absolutely, I will. I won't say no to you. But my encouragement to you is get a resume and stick with it. Okay? Occasionally, you will make changes to your resume to add a success story that you've had or capture something that you've accomplished because it ties directly to a position that you're applying for. Okay? It may not be on your primary resume, but it's a job that you're applying for that's just a little bit left in left field. You wouldn't have that information on your resume because it's really not what you're looking for, but gosh, this is a great opportunity. You can then change your resume. When I was graduating from college in 1981, I couldn't change my resume. My dad owned a printing company. He was so excited. I think he had the thing typeset. Okay? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, you couldn't make changes. Once you finally printed that resume, it was done. Well, we can make changes today. But don't look at that as something that you have to every day. Find somebody to help you with the resume. The one thing that I coach candidates on more than anything else, I am not a professional resume writer, but the one thing that I coach candidates on every day is to make sure that your resume is capturing success stories, okay? And it is capturing numbers. You achieved X and X and Y and Z. I grew sales. I increased profitability. I reduced expenses. I increased morale by doing X. I implemented this program that did this. If your resume reads like a job description, responsible for filing, responsible for setting up executive travel, that's a job description. It doesn't tell the employer anything that you've done. Okay? We want to see accomplishments. We want to see percentages. We want to see numbers. We want to hear success stories. So make sure that your resume reflects that. Okay? And I could talk the whole thing on resumes today. I'm just catching a few key initiatives here. Business cards. You ought to have business cards if you're in a job search. You can go to Kinko's. They cost $25, $30. You can print them from Office Max. It's got your name. It's got your email address. It's got your phone number. Never put your mailing address on a business card, and it should capture something that you do. Sales expert, marketing, creative marketing, innovative something, okay? It should be in black or blue or dark green or something. Don't put flowers on it, guys. Girls, don't put tennis rackets on it. Keep it clean, nice, neat, plenty of room for people to make notes on it, okay? Simple, but you gotta have business cards. If you're going out to network, you gotta have a card to give somebody, okay? Is your email signature in place? So on your email in Outlook, have you gone in and put an email signature? So every email that you send out, whether you reply to somebody or you're answering somebody, you know, first time you're sending an email or you're replying, make sure you got that box clicked because you want to be easily found. Okay? So if I have got, as a recruiter, and I'm working with a company in California looking for a controller, and I've got 98 people I'm talking to, and I've got 5 other searches that are going on, and I'm old. I can't remember. So when I think, oh gosh, I got to find Jason's contact information, and I got to dig and dig and dig and dig, it just makes it more difficult. So just make it really easy for the people you're communicating with and give them your name and your email address and your phone number and your email signature. Make sure that your space is cleaned up, okay? And they've got a dedicated space to do your job search from. Crazy as this might be, a good friend of mine went up to Chicago last year to a Cubs game, stayed at his house. He said, Kurt, you know, help me out. What do you think of my space? And I said, man, you know, you're a single guy. You're living in this big house. I said, get your butt out of the kitchen. Okay? His whole job search he had set up in his kitchen on a table. And granted, it was there every day and it was fine. But I said, you got this dining room, a beautiful dining room table. Get rid of the flowers. Put your executive chair at that dining room table and set up your office in there. Make yourself comfortable. Give yourself room. Nobody else can disturb you in there, but make sure your space is clean and it's set up and it's organized and that you got the tools in order to be successful in your office, okay? What's your message? Do you have your 30-second elevator pitch? How are you going to tell somebody that you're not working right now? What happened? Is it going to be a sad saga, or is it going to be a positive? What's the message that you're going to tell people? Practice it. Stand in front of the mirror. Write it out. Give it to your best friend. Repeat it on the phone. Do it in person. Get your message down. There's nothing worse when, you know, when I say, you meet somebody that's unemployed and you feel so bad for them. I know it sucks what you're going through, guys. And I mean it. I mean it. I know what you're going through. It's horrible. Okay? But we got to get the emotion out of it, and we got to be able to tell people what our message is and what we're good at and what we want to do. Okay? And then have a positive attitude. One of my mantras is, attitude is everything. I believe in that. I think it is how people perceive you, how they look at you. And as hard as it is, I want you to have a positive attitude. You know, and have a friend that when you're not in a positive attitude and you're not having a good day, that will pull you aside and say, get out of here. Classic example, I told you I went through a divorce. It was ugly. And I can remember going to a networking event, and I had just gotten off the phone with a lawyer or my ex-wife or something. I had no business being at that networking event. Okay? And thankfully, one of my very dear friends, 8 minutes into it, tapped me on the shoulder and said, Kurt, go home. Okay? That was really cool. Because I couldn't see it. And I wasn't projecting a positive attitude for my company. And I was working with Paula. I had my own business at that point. I wasn't even in a job search. So attitude is everything. And make sure, if you're not feeling up to it, but great networking event, I gotta go. But, you know, I feel like I got kicked in the butt 22 times today and I don't have that positive image. Better not go. You're better not to go than to go and go with a bad attitude. Okay. Pace yourself and stay with it. Okay. I can't tell you if this is going to be a sprint or it's going to be a marathon. Some of you have been out for a couple of weeks and some of you might have been out for a year already. Okay. Everybody's different. I get asked the question all the time. How long is it going to take me to find a job? I wish I could tell you. The old mantra is, for every 10,000, it's going to take a month. I don't know if that's true anymore. There's people that land a job, they lose a job, and they land a job within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. There's people that are out for 2 years. I can't tell you how long it's going to take. I just want you to pace yourself. So what I want you to consider doing is, through your searches, I want you to keep a written log of all the contacts, callbacks, and interviews that you've had. Keep a log of that stuff. Because you're not as old as I am, or maybe you are, but you need to keep a record of that stuff so that you can go back. Develop short and long-term action plans, okay? We all know that we do better when we have goals, okay? So I coach a lot of college kids on their job search, and I say, every week, set a goal for yourself. It may be two, it may be five, it may be six, it may be one. Calls that you want to make, interviews you want to try to get. Set goals for yourself and then celebrate them. If you succeed on Monday that you made the call and you got an interview or you got an informational interview and so forth, go celebrate that, but then try to blow it out of the park so that by Friday you have four more, okay? But have goals. Set goals for yourself. Seek feedback from significant others, okay, to monitor your progress. And this really goes into what I'm going to talk about at the end, and that is, do you have an accountability partner? Okay? I know here at Watermark, they talk about accountability partners or accountability groups. I have one, two, three, a number of them. Okay? I met with one of them last night. They can be spiritual, they can be professional. But if you're not in an accountability group where, in this particular case, I will say, even in a job search, I think that women need to be with men, women, and men need to be with men, okay? But find a couple of people. It doesn't need to be six. It doesn't need to be eight. Best if it's two or three. But find somebody that you can get with on a weekly basis that can help you maintain accountability to the goals and objectives that you're trying to get through. I would much rather have two people that do, and I think it's best if you're both sales or marketing or finance, so that find somebody that can understand what you do, okay? And is in the same mantra. I don't think that it works as well if you've got a salesperson and a finance person, because the finance guy thinks in a different latitude than salespeople do. The finance guy will probably learn more from the sales guy, but anyway, I think it's best if you stick to your verticals, okay? Accountability partners are great. And then review and modify your objectives throughout your journey, okay? You're taking notes, you've got your goals, you've got your values, you've got your objectives captured. Modify as you come to hurdles. Hurdles are, I've been in the search for 2 months. I've had 8 interviews. I've been rejected 8 times. Great time to find a quiet place. Go reflect. Got your notes? What's working? What's not working? Get with your accountability partner. These are the mistakes I think I'm making. This is where I think I could do better, okay? The thing that I want you to know, though, about the interview process and not getting those jobs that you really like or really want. I know that this is the hardest thing about a job search from a candidate perspective, and it is getting feedback, right? You've been on an interview, you didn't get the job, and you want feedback. What did I do wrong? Okay? What did I say? What did I do? And all I can share with you is that you would have never gotten to the interview. You would have never gotten to that point if you didn't have 98% of what that company was looking for. And what do you hear more often than anything else? And I know it doesn't help you sleep at night any better, but what they tell you 99% of the time, it wasn't a good fit. Because you and the hiring manager have to have a good fit. You and the company have to have a good fit. And you can't study for that. You can't prepare for it. It's, go ahead. No.
I don't understand that. Their culture is their problem.
Yeah.
It's not always us.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I don't understand what that means.
What fit means?
Yeah, I mean, people have said that, I don't know, a million times, and I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so what I would encourage you to do is... No, so what I encourage you to do is before you go to your next interview, whatever company it is, what I would encourage you to do is to try to find 2 or 3 people that used to work with that company recently, okay? And ask them about what's the culture like? What keeps that company up at night? What are the biggest problems they're trying to solve? Do you have any insight into this hiring manager as far as what makes him or her tick, okay? So that you can learn those intricate kind of non... It's not what's on the paper, okay? It's not what's here.
It's not the resume.
It's not the resume. It's the other junk, okay? And it's the hardest piece. And again, I can't prepare you for it. Nobody can. But it's that fit. It's you know, my partner Paula always says, you know, it's the dating, okay? In a relationship. And that sounds really queer, and I don't mean to be, but it is that. That's what it is. It really is. And I use that term with my companies that I work with all the time. Is, you know, the hiring managers will say, "We're in love with that candidate," and I say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! You just had your first date. It's not time to get in the back seat yet. Wait a minute. We got other candidates that we need to see first, okay?" So I'm glad that you like that candidate, and I'll let that candidate know that you like that candidate. I like that candidate a whole lot too. But let's not put the ball before the cart before the horse.
20 candidates for every job.
Some do and some don't. I mean, you know, if you're working with a recruiter, probably not. Because, you know, I've looked at 40 candidates. I'm presenting the top 3. And if they want to see more after that, then I'll start bringing them in. But I don't show them 20 candidates. I show them 3 candidates. I show them the top 5, top 4. And you get to see 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions? I'm just going to motor through this. Are we doing all right, Mike? Make new customer contacts. Make new contacts. You know, in they say every day. I want you to make one every hour. Okay? This is an intense. Looking for a job is the hardest job you will ever have. Yes, it sucks. It's hard. But every hour you need to be focused on making a new contact somehow, somewhere, someplace. Identify, develop, and promote your most marketable skills. Okay, so that comes back to what we talked about at the very beginning. You got to know yourself. Be able to tell that in a short story, 30 seconds, not 18 minutes. When you find somebody at a networking event that works for a company that you are interested in, you want to be able to give that person a snapshot exactly, boom, what you do and who you are and how you're going to be better at it than anybody else. They don't know you. They've never met you. You want a positive impression. So you got to be organized. You got to be disciplined. You give them that 30-second elevator pitch. And then is there a time that I can come by and visit with you and talk in greater detail about your organization and what keeps your company up at night and so forth? Because I know you're busy today. You're here to see other people. This is a networking event, okay? So be concise, but know what your marketable skills are. As queer as it is, consider videotaping or doing mock interviews with friends, okay? The one word there's all these words because, again, I say I'm old. You know, cool was, you know, hip 25 years ago. But what's the word that everybody uses now? It's, what?
Sick.
No.
Not sick.
Sick. Oh, sick, yeah.
Awesome.
Sweet. There's another one, though. That they
nice.
Nice, right. You hear right all the time. So we're not cognizant that we do that. So I encourage you to get yourself on video, have somebody watch you, do an interview, because it'll really just sharpen your skills and it'll make you that much better than you were yesterday. Takes a little bit of time, but it really can be a great way to just make sure that. It gives you the ability to see what other people are seeing. Okay? So I highly encourage it. And it's hard to do, but if you can get a friend or a family member to do a video for you, it will really help you. Golfers do it. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I had a question.
Sure.
I mean, how do you answer an interview just your lack of experience? Graduated from college 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Only been working part time for a couple of years. I have a feeling why I know why I don't have a lot of experience. People have hired me because I don't have the experience. Maybe my disability plays into it. But if you're just trying to move into a new career,
yep.
How do you answer something like that?
So you've got to answer with passion. You know, I've got a great foundation. I've gone to school. I've got a good education. That's why I'm here today, is because I got to start somewhere. And I'm confident that a company like yours can provide me with the experience and the opportunity to learn and grow with an organization. You just have to be honest. You can't make up what you don't have, okay? If the company's looking for a master's and you don't have it when you go in for the interview, you can't go buy it on the way home, okay? So you just have to be honest. I mean, there's times in our lives we just have to say, you know, if in this case, Elena, if that's what they're looking for, somebody that's got 25 years of experience and somebody that's done this, and this, I'm not your candidate. But what I like about your organization, what I continue to hear from friends and family and contacts that I make, is that this organization offers a learning, compassionate, caring environment that would give somebody like myself the opportunity to come in and learn and grow with your organization. How could you be more honest than that? And then turn it over to the company and let them say no at that point. Okay? You've been honest. You've put your heart out in front of them. Really? Come on. Okay? We talked about videotaping, identify new targets and candidates. Never allow your contact list to go low. So this kind of plays into a story that I tell to a lot of people. I'm going to give it to you today for free. I didn't write it out for you, so I don't have it. But I got one of these today. And it's, I call it the prayer letter. Okay? And someday I will market this thing. But the prayer letter is this. You've gotten these before. It says this. Read this prayer 10 times in the next 10 minutes and send it to 10 people, or you're going to die and go to you know where. Okay? And we're panicked and we're having a bad day and we're like, I'll do anything at this point, Lord. Just fine. Here's 10 people. Boom. I said the prayer in 10 minutes. I've done everything. Save me. Bring me that job. Okay? Well, in the job-seeking world, this is how my prayer letter works. And I have demonstrated results. This thing works. Okay? What I want you to do is it becomes your monthly communication. It's your monthly letter. And it says just this. Great people know great people. That's the header. That's the subject line. Go into your Outlook. Go into your Gmail. I don't care what you got. Grab all your contacts. Do you know you can go into LinkedIn and download all your LinkedIn contacts into an Excel spreadsheet? Okay? Grab all the contacts you got. 200, 500, 700, 800. I don't care what it is. Grab them all. Put them into an Excel spreadsheet. Take all the email addresses. Put them into a BCC so nobody sees who's getting the email. Okay? You don't have to have a 2, and you don't have to have a CC. All of those emails get dropped into a BCC. Subject line, great people know great people. And then the email says this, if you didn't know what I was doing today, you'd never be able to help. I'm in a job search. And some of the companies that I'm considering today include, and you give them 4, 5, 6 companies that you're interested in, okay? I'll come back to that. If you or anybody you know in your network has contacts with these companies or companies like these, I would greatly appreciate an introduction. If there's anything that I can do for you or a friend, call anytime. I appreciate your time, and I'll be back in touch in 30 days. Don't attach a resume. Okay? It's that simple. Why do you do that? Okay? Because you, if you've got 250, if you've got 50, if you've got 800, you can't possibly personally touch everybody in your network every month. So this becomes your marketing letter. Okay? You don't attach your resume because a lot of the people that you, and you don't tell them what you're looking for, sales, marketing, finance, or anything else. A lot of people in your network are going to be intimidated by what you do because they're finance and you're sales. They don't understand what you do. They're HR, you're business development. They don't understand what you do every day, okay? So you don't tell them what you're doing. You don't tell them what job. You don't attach a resume. Target companies because I may get that letter from a friend of mine and they say that they're looking to go to work for American Airlines and I say, gosh, I don't know anybody at American Airlines anymore other than a lot of gate agents. But I do know the CEO over at Southwest Airlines. Would that be an introduction that you'd like? Yeah, because they're interested in the airline industry. Okay? So that happens more often than not because they, your friends, your contacts, your family, people you've worked with, people in this network are going to see companies that they don't maybe know, but they know what they do, and they know other companies. My friend, my neighbor just started a business like this. My neighbor just went to work for a company that does something like that. Maybe you ought to talk to them, okay? So the prayer letter, it works. It really does. And people that use it call me relentlessly afterwards and say, I didn't believe it. I used it. And I got 6 interviews within the next 2 weeks. Okay? I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't believe in it. I wouldn't be telling you if it didn't work. It works. And it keeps your network up to date. And you got to do it every month. And every month, those companies change because you've got new targets. Okay? Follow-up is really important. We talked about maintaining records of all the interviews. Thank you notes. How many of you write handwritten thank you notes? They're unbelievable. They work. Nobody writes handwritten thank you notes anymore. When was the last time you got a handwritten thank you note? When was the last time you got a handwritten note from anybody? Family, friends, anything? It makes a difference. But recognize, it may take a week to get to that person because companies don't have the little guy that pushes the mail cart around anymore. Right? They got rid of those people. So mail may only get delivered once a week, and the executive that you sent it to may be traveling the next week. So don't expect an immediate response, but I guarantee you, if there's 4 candidates that are looking for that opportunity and interviewing for that organization or that job, they're only going to get 1 from you because people don't do it. And it's not bad for you to have thank you notes in your car. It comes back to being organized, okay? Have a little box in your car with a few thank you notes in it. You finish an interview with a company. You go to Starbucks with your computer. So you want to make sure you spell everything right. You write the thank you note out on your computer so you got all the spelling right. You write that out real nice and neat. Seal it up. Put the guy's name on it. Drive back to the company. Walk into the receptionist and say, would you mind delivering these thank you notes to these people? Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? You don't have to put them in the mail. You can hand deliver them back to the company the day of or a couple of days later. It demonstrates urgency. It demonstrates all the good things in life. There's nothing wrong with it. And you will be given kudos for it. Okay? Make sure you spell their name right. Make sure you got the spelling right in it. Make sure your handwriting's legible. For those of you that have doctor handwriting, just take your time, print it, whatever. But it does work. Any questions? I'm just kind of motoring through this stuff. Any questions? Yes.
I'm under the impression, whether it's right or wrong, that there is a certain income level before you obtain a recruiter. Is that true?
No. First and foremost, recruiters, I hate to say it, but recruiters are generally going to be your worst enemies. Okay? And why do I say that? It doesn't mean that recruiters are bad people. I'm one of them. So I call myself a bad person if I was doing that. And you get a lot of recruiters that come in here and speak. That's my phone. I'm sorry. I got a new BlackBerry and I can't figure out how to use the thing. It's driving me crazy. So you just have to listen to it ring there. This is why, so real briefly, we're going to go offline again here a little bit. Retained search executive contingent. Retained, I'm a retained executive, and I work on $40,000 jobs, year jobs, and I work on $250,000 a year jobs. I work on CEO jobs, I work on sales jobs. I fill admin positions for CEOs, CFOs, and so forth. I help companies fill hard to fill jobs, so I do it all, okay? Most retained guys are only working in the C-suite, okay? Meaning the CIO, CFO, and so forth. Contingent guys, and I get paid up front. So a company that hires me pays me a block of money up front to start the search because I'm not working for free. I'd rather be playing golf than to work for free anymore, okay? But then I get paid a percentage of the job at the end as well, okay? Contingent guys don't get any money up front. Company's got an open position. They may hire 3 or 4 contingent search guys to help them fill that job. Okay? So I'm a contingent. Let's say if I was a contingent guy, I knew that they hired 3 companies. There's a vice president of sales position open. I'm going to get 20% of the first year's salary only. Pays $150,000. I stand to make $30,000 if I did the math right. 20%, $150,000, $30,000. But I'm competing against two other search firms. So it's about volume. I'm not going to get paid unless my candidate gets hired. So I am going to send in, I'm going into my database, and I'm looking for only the best, and I'm sending in resumes. Boom, 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 boom. I'm typing, I'm sending, boom, boom. Because I'm not getting paid until they select my candidate. I'm on the phone. Did you see those last 10 candidates? Which one do you want to interview? Did you see these next 10? Which one do you want to interview? You know, and you're pushing your candidate, pushing, pushing, pushing. You are unemployed, and you get the word that I'm a search guy, and you want to build a relationship with me. And I'm working on the sales job, and you're a finance person, and you call me, and I'm like, babe, I'm sorry. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I ain't got time for you. I'm over here working on the sales job. I'm sorry. I don't have time for you, okay? You could be the sales guy, but you're in consumer packaged goods, and I'm over here doing sales for technology. You think you've got the experience I'm looking for because you've built your own bridge about how you can be good and all what you can do. I don't see it. And you're just a little bit too far in the distance. So I'm not going to spend time with you. That's why recruiters get a bad rap, is because if you don't fit the exact perimeter of what a search guy is looking for at the moment that they're doing a search for a specific job, they're not going to spend a lot of time with you. It's just so sad. They don't. Because you're wasting their time. And I hate to say it that way, but they're getting paid by a company in a retained situation to find candidates. You don't really have the experience. You're trying to tell me you do, but you really don't. So recruiters, and again, I'm sorry, but recruiters are never going to be your best friends, okay, for unemployed people. Should you have six or seven that you talk to and you communicate on a regular basis because they do specialize in a field that you work in? Absolutely. Should you ping them every 4 or 5 weeks? Absolutely. Should you try to go have coffee with them? Absolutely. Because they know other people. And if they are genuine and they are Christian, they will find a way to help you. Does that help? Yeah.
So what's the best way to find out? I mean, when you talk to a recruiter,
ask them, are you contingent or are you retained?
Okay.
Tell me what kind of recruiter you are.
Do you also ask, okay, so what kind of database are you building? What kind of positions are you looking for?
I see that you're working on a position for a sales vice president of technology. Do you only work in the technology field, or do you cross multiple boundaries? Do you work in other functions? I see you're working for a sales position for this technology company. I'm a finance guy. Do you also fill finance positions for that organization, or is there somebody else in your organization that I could try to build a relationship? Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah.
Earlier, you mentioned having an email address on your business card, and then you also said an email signature. What's the difference?
Okay, so business card, email address, phone number, what you do. Email signature is that block at the bottom of every email that you send out. That's called your email signature. So whether you're using Outlook or Gmail or anything else, if you don't know how to do it, I can show you on mine how I do it on Outlook, but you need to have an email signature so that every email you send out, every reply that you answer has got your name, your email address, and your phone number. You also might put your LinkedIn profile link there so that they can click on that, and then gives them a short gives them the resume without sending a resume. Yeah, does that help? Does everybody understand that? Because it's really important. Yes.
Kurt, what do you think about recruiting that charge searcher?
No, run. Sorry, you didn't even have to answer the question. You don't ever pay anybody to help you find a job. Only you can do it. And they're bottom feeders, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not going to go as far as to use the S word, but no. And these guys, you know, they it's so sad. You know, these people that are unemployed for 8 months, 9 months, I can't do it. They get desperate. And this guy comes in and says, for $20,000, $10,000, I can help find you a job. No, no, don't, please go to the racetrack. Don't give a recruiter. And I mean that not because I don't do that business, okay? I coach one candidate every day, 30 minutes. What are you doing? Where are you going? How are you doing it? What networking events are you going to? All that stuff. I do it for free because I sleep better at night because I've helped somebody, okay? But they're bottom feeders. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to call them bad. There are probably a lot of good people that do it. But nobody can help find you a job better than yourself. I'm sorry. And you've got 20 of these people right here that want to help you. 30 of these people. They can help you better than any of those other guys or gals. Okay? No. The other thing is, we talked about email signatures. We talked about business cards. The other thing I want you to do is, how many of you don't have a personal greeting on your voicemail? Kids generally don't do this, but you're all adults. If you've allowed the telephone company, this is 214-675-4516. He's not here to take your message or, you know, leave a message. It's another opportunity for personal branding. You call me, my message is, hello, this is Kurt. I'm sorry I'm not here to take your call right now. But your call is very important to me. And I mean that when I say it is important. You've taken the time to call me. Your call is important to me. I'll be back in touch with you real soon. Have a tremendous day, because I'm tremendous. That's one of my differentiators. I'm positive. I've got passion. I love what I do. So that is another branding opportunity for yourself. So if you've just allowed the telephone company to put that signature on there for yourself with your phone number, go in there and create a personal greeting. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate your time today. Okay? Just a small thing that drives me crazy with, you know, technology today. So it's minor, but it hopefully helps. Okay, just wrapping up here. Ask for the order every time you meet with somebody. If you are a finance person, you're an HR person, if you're in something other than sales, and you don't know how to sell yourself because you are the product, okay? Remember, you are the product in the job search. Every interview you go to, every meeting you have, you've got to find a way to ask for the order. I've really enjoyed this dialogue today. What's the next step? When can I come back to meet with, what are the next elements of this job, this interview? How many other people? Where are you at in the search? You know, give that interviewer an opportunity to give you feedback right there. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for the recruiter to call you and say you weren't a good fit. You know, ask right there. I feel a lot of energy right here today. How do you feel? Do you feel like this is a good fit? Okay? Ask those questions. Ask for the order. Okay?
Should you ask how you compare to others that they've interviewed?
I wouldn't ask how I compare against others, but you could say something in the category of, I know that this position's been open for a little bit, and I know you've talked to a number of candidates. Do my skills and experience match the objectives of this position? Okay? Because you don't know who else has been in there. So he may like you more, but you don't have the experience. So I would never ask about another candidate. Don't turn down... Go ahead, sorry.
Personal thing. What if your resume, the last few jobs you had 2 years ago, and now step under for the team, how do you get back in the swing of it?
Yep.
You know, went from a 6-figure salary to, you know, $23,000.
Right.
You know, what's the fix of that? It's really hard to get back in the swing.
Yep. That is probably the hardest thing that candidates have today, and I don't know that there's a real easy answer. So the question was, I've had a six-figure job. I've been doing something different for the last 5 or 6, 7 years. I'd be really happy with a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year job. How do you communicate that to a company? And it is definitely the hardest thing.
Yes.
Because they feel like you're going to come in and always be looking for the next job because you're not going to be happy with that salary. And you've just got to communicate with them that something in your life has changed. That you don't need that six-figure income anymore. My kids are out of college. I've downsized. And I realize now in life that the job and the company is more important to me than the dollars that are paid. Okay? And so you've got, and that's got to be done in a very personal way, and it's got to be done when you're in front of the company. And it is hard. It's hard to get past that. I don't have a magic answer, but I'd be more than happy to meet with you, talk with you, look at your resume, and maybe give you some tidbits that would work directly for you. And if others have that question, that is the hardest thing. And I recognize that. Gaps in a resume are the hardest thing. The best way to avoid gaps, not necessarily avoid gaps, but make gaps look smaller, is a lot of people on resumes put month and year. Just use years. Okay, because that can hide a lot of stuff. And it's not that you're hiding or anything else. It's not meant to be. But you'll have an opportunity on an application to give them all the history that you work history you've had. On a resume, years work just fine. Okay? One thing I always coach candidates is don't turn down jobs until you've been given job offers. Okay? I'm a storyteller, and I had a guy 3 years ago, a friend of mine, said, "Will you meet with Bob? He's a PR guy." Yeah, I'll meet with him. Just so happened I was working with a small media company called Comcast in Indianapolis, and they were looking for a director of PR. Called the guy, said, "Hey, I understand you're a PR guy. Would you consider moving to Indianapolis?" That's the longest pole in the tent to get somebody to relocate. "Yeah, I'll relocate to Indianapolis. What's the salary?" "Well, let's talk about the job first. What's the salary?" "Well, we're looking for somebody that's got..." "No, Kurt, what's the salary?" "I don't really want to talk about the salary right now. I want to talk about your skills. But if you want to talk about salary, fine. It's $150,000 a year." "Well, I wouldn't work for anything less than $200,000. "Okay, you haven't worked in a year, but okay, have a good life." Boom, hung up the phone. What he didn't know was that the limousine that picked him up to go to the interview wouldn't have had the CEO of Exxon in it, and he would have been looking for a VP of PR that would have paid him $500,000. He didn't know that when he got on the airplane and sat in first class, that he would have sat next to this guy that would have been looking for this or that or the other thing. He doesn't know that he would have gotten the interview, and the company would have said, "You're overqualified for this job in Indianapolis. Would you go to Philadelphia and take the senior vice president job, and that pays $1 million? He turned down the opportunity to talk to a company before he even had the interview. I'm sorry, he was stupid. I don't know any other way to say it. Don't turn down a job until you have a job offer. Then you can say, "This isn't a fit for me." Sorry, this thing lays first.
Do you have YouTube? Do you have videos on YouTube?
I should, shouldn't I?
I'm listening to you today, and you are absolutely fabulous, and we've got to get you.
Okay.
You
have to give our business card. Huh?
I'll give you my business card. Eddie?
I wanted to ask if you've had work experience in the public sector, and then you've also had work experience in the church environment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you go to get work in the corporate world, or it may be a hesitation of hiring you after you've been. How do you structure that in your resume? Do you try to section it off?
No.
Do you take it off?
No. It's building that bridge, Eddie, right? It's building that bridge, and it's no different than... Sorry? So the question was, he's worked in the public sector, and then he's also worked in the church environment, and now he's talking to corporations, and how do you build that bridge? So it's building a bridge and letting them know in communicating that a lot of the same experiences you had in the private sector or over here are the same issues, the same challenges that the company faces here, and that you appreciate that, you understand that, and that you bring creativity. So it goes back to those key foundation substance stuff that makes Eddie different than everybody else. Creativity, organization, I think outside the box. Whether you're in a Christian public sector or you're working for a private company, those are really important business traits that that an individual needs to have. That's what you're focused on. Okay? Somebody else?
I was going to ask about
And we'll wrap up here. I'm sorry, Mike. I've kind of gone.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Is this on? I just want to ask about the transferable skills because people are bringing up a lot of good questions. And I tried to get into nonprofits. It's like you've never fundraised, even though you were sales, you know. And sometimes the barrier is really there. What I've learned is it seems that the most people that are open to transferable skills are hiring managers and direct.
That's right.
Now, that's how you got your job. So this is what I would say, right? You hadn't recruited before. You'd never been in an executive search. What do you think was the difference about that person, and why were they open to give you a chance?
Right.
How did you make that leap?
Yep, and that is a great question. So I think the foundation of what you said, and it's so true, is that when you can get to hiring managers, they will understand those transferable skills. When you're dealing with HR, it comes back to dealing with recruiters. Remember, HR executives are there to say no. Okay? They're there screening for what they consider the best candidate, and they don't always know the best candidate. So when you can get to a hiring manager, now you can communicate that. In my particular case, one of the things that differentiates me, my partner, and our firm from all the other recruiters out there is I have been a hiring manager for 30 years. I've hired, I've fired, I've managed, I've been a part of succession planning. I become an extension of your desk. So I learn what the mission is, I understand the culture of your organization, and I can spot those people in a crowd of 100 people. I know what they sound like on the phone, and then I can bring the best people. I can ask questions that you'd ask because I've done similar jobs to what you're doing. That's why companies hire me. Yeah.
So are you a screener?
We're all screeners. But I work both sides of the desk, if that's what you're... I'm selling, so I'm always selling my skills to companies to hire me, to help fill hard-to-fill jobs. But then I'm also working my own desk in the sense that I've got these jobs and I'm filling and talking to candidates every day. So I am a screener and I'm a seller. Yeah. Other questions? So it's all about attitude, y'all. It's hard work. It's heavy lifting. And I'm sorry that you're in this phase, but what Mike said earlier, this, you know, this little blip on the screen, I've heard Todd say it before, and you know, if we had a string this long, you know, and this was eternity, our life here on earth is just this one little strand in the middle of that string. And so this little, where you're at right now, is just one little piece of ribbon in a short period of life. And so this too shall pass, and you will find something that's better, and you'll find something you can be passionate about and excited about, and you will be able to pay it forward. So thanks for giving me the opportunity this morning, and if I can ever help, let me know.
All right,
contact information, you want to...
You can give it out, and then we can email it.
Okay, so my email address is Kurt, K-U-R-T, at... Linked, L-I-N-K-E-D, E-X-E-C, linkedexec.com.
And then we'll send an email out to that. So thank you very much. One quick question before you get out of here. So just to help some of the candidates, say, troubleshoot,
yep.
Let's say two scenarios. One, I'm applying for a lot of jobs and I'm not getting the interviews. What do you think the reasons behind that could be? And another one is, let's say I'm getting a lot of interviews, but I'm just not getting offers. And how do I, because I'm getting that generic feedback from the companies, how do I troubleshoot that myself?
Right. So you're applying for a lot of jobs, you're not getting the interviews. So it could be that, you know, you're not reading the fine print in what the company's looking for, meaning that you are, it's a sales technology. They're looking for somebody in Orange County, California, and you live in New Jersey, and you're applying for the job, and it says specifically no relocation. Okay, so just read the fine print, read it, and as hard as it is, and as you know, the unemployment agency requires that you fill out 8 applications a week or whatever. I know you've got goals that you've got to come by, but make sure that you're applying for jobs that really are a fit for you, because it's a lot of time. I mean, I was talking to a candidate yesterday, and they were doing the online thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you do online applications for companies, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You've got to put a lot of information in. It takes a lot of time. So don't waste that time yourself if it's not a perfect fit, if it's not the right job. Now, yeah, you get your name into the company's application tracking system. They may find you for another opportunity. I would, instead of filling out that application, I would take the time to know that Ready Ice is hiring. It may not be the right job for me, but I'm going to take the time to get to know a couple of key people at Ready Ice so that when the right job comes open, they will then maybe think of me. And I'll keep an eye on, it comes back to taking notes, I'll keep an eye on their website and so forth to keep looking for one of those opportunities. Or maybe I've developed a good enough relationship with somebody internally that they'll call me when they know that somebody from finance left and that finance job is opening up. So those are some of the things I do there.
Yeah, as far as your contacts, your network, you talk about your maintaining your network.
Yep.
I believe you mentioned sending out a monthly letter.
Right.
Do you have any other tips that you would? I mean, how often do you keep these contacts fresh?
Every 30 days, you send out that prayer letter. Okay. Every 30 days, you're telling your network what you're doing, because what happens if they don't hear from you in 30 days? They assume. And what's the word assume means? You know, okay? So you got to keep them fresh. You got to keep reminding them that you're still looking. Because when you don't call them, you don't email them, you don't send them that note, then they're going to assume that you've landed. And you don't ever want that to happen if it hasn't happened. Second question is, you've gotten a lot of interviews, you're not getting the jobs. You've got to find somebody to help you, okay? And I mean, you know, if I didn't get two jobs, I'd gotten to the final phase of interviews and I didn't get either one of those jobs, that's when I'd reach out to friends in my accountability group and say, I need help. I must be doing something wrong. Can we do some mock interviews? Can you videotape me so I can see what I look like on camera? And you might reach back out to the person 3 or 4 weeks later, okay? And to the person you interviewed with and say, you know, can I just have a real candid, I'm not trying to get you in HR prison or anything else, but, you know, it's been 4 weeks. I know you've moved on to another great candidate, and that's awesome. I'm so happy for you and your organization. But I found myself in this position a couple of times over the last month, and I'm not getting I'm getting the interviews, I'm not getting the job. Could you provide me with any information? Could you critique me in any way? Something? Can you give me any tidbit that might help me be a better candidate for the next interview I have? 99% of the time, they'll probably say no. They don't have anything for you. Okay? Maybe one will give you some feedback, but you've asked the question. You feel better now about yourself. So don't give up, because it could be that tenacity that then they say, wow, I better look at this candidate. I got a guy right now. I talked about Adam that asked about the salary.
Right.
Okay. This guy doesn't even fit what the company's looking for. Okay. Mm-hmm. He emails the CEO of the company every 4 days. I am still so interested in working for your company. Da, da, da. So the CEO called me one day and he says, the guy doesn't even fit what we're looking for, but I really think I got to see the guy. And I said, I agree. I've been telling you that for 3 weeks. The kid's awesome. Okay? You do need to see him. So tenacity and follow-up, and it's that selling. Somebody said, when do you quit calling a company? When they tell you to stop calling. Okay? It's that simple. When they say, don't call me anymore. Okay? But keep in mind that the other people on the other end of the phone, the other people that are on the end of the email, they've got families, they're running businesses, they're traveling, they could have vacations, they could have had a death in the family, they could have had a CEO from JCPenney's that resigned or got fired yesterday. They've got a lot of stuff going on, okay? You're just a small piece of their world, okay? So if you're interested in a job and you know the hiring manager, I wouldn't email and call him every day, but I probably would throw an email and a phone call into his desk twice a week.
Make it fresh.
Send him an email. Send him a personal note. Even if you haven't had the interview, I know you're really busy. I appreciate your time. Can I get 16 minutes? Ask for a quitter number. You don't know the guy. If you ask for 30 minutes, you're not going to get 30 minutes. But if you ask for 12, you might get an hour. Okay? So you got to be creative. Sorry.
No, perfect answer. And then last thing, I just want you to comment on this. I did interviewing on Saturday. I interviewed four candidates for a position, and I was thinking about it. I only recommended one of the four to be hired. If you ask me right now, I can't tell you any tangible anything that they told me in that interview. I can't tell you what was on the resume, where they worked. But what I can tell you is my experience of interacting with them. So the one that I recommended was a very positive, upbeat guy. I think he had railroad experience. I'm not for sure. But I just kind of wanted your comments. You've got something on that. But from my experience, like I said, it was the experience of the interview as the hiring manager. I did make sure they had the tangible skills, and then our HR made sure that anybody that we hired can do the job. And so it was really comes down to the ability to express their skill set and the answers they gave, and really their attitude overall. So leaving that interview, and we interview as teams, leaving that interview, I was able to say, well, that was a really good interview. And then even a week later, I can say, okay, I remember this one positive guy that's coming on board. So cannot understate or cannot express that enough, how much that makes an impact during the interview. And has that been your experience too?
Yes.
Where you get done, you're like, I don't remember anything the guy said, but I remember how it felt.
No, exactly. And it is, and that is... That's why, you know, before an interview, the importance of, you know, exercise and not drinking six cups of coffee so that you're jittery and not having a cigarette 2 minutes before you go in. I mean, these are all little silly things, but then it's going in with a lot of energy because, you know, you can make up for a lot of weaknesses or deficiencies by having a great attitude and having a great smile and... You know, and that's why the videotaping can help as well, so that you make sure you're projecting the absolute best image that you have.
Great. And then do you want to talk about mock interviews?
Yeah, actually, is this on? Yeah. We've advertised mock interviews and have had them in the past. For the past couple of months, I think DeWitt and whoever's been up here has let everybody know, if you are interested in a mock interview, email me. I have not gotten one interview. So that's telling me either you all are doing your mock interviews and are so totally prepared that you don't need it, and that's perfectly fine because it does take some work, or you haven't gotten my email. My email is marthaigarza@yahoo.com. If you are interested, we put together people that are professional. And what Kurt just shared with you is that you're going to get that feedback. You call HR. HR cannot give you feedback. It is rare for any company to allow their HR people. The legal aspects of what went wrong is so vast, they're not going to touch it. But here, we've got people in major corporations that have done or are doing hiring, and they will give you a disclaimer. They're doing it as a volunteer. They are a member here. They are not representing their company. They are representing... The reason we do all this is Christ himself. And that's it. And that is the reason. So if you're interested, let me know.
I can't overemphasize mock interviews. And even before you go to an interview, if you haven't interviewed recently, if you can get somebody on the phone to coach you the night before and get you fired up about that interview, it can mean the difference in you getting the next interview or not. I mean, phone interviews, having somebody help you. What do you say? What do you do? How do you do a phone interview? You know, what questions? These are, you know, anybody that can help you. It's a huge difference. And I know that Ben and you all have a long list of people that will take those phone calls at 8 o'clock at night.
But here's the thing. We're going to request certain things from you. We're going to request that you get a job description that's out there. Whether it's been filled or not is irrelevant. And your resume that matches it. Because then I wind up turning it around and giving it to the individual that is the recruiter. So they have time to look over everything and give you some feedback. And feedback begins with that resume and any interaction you have. If your attitude is poor, I expect them to tell you that your attitude needs some improvement. If you dress in a way that is
just maybe too casual, you're too provocative, too whatever, they're going to talk to you. So do not think that this is going to be, oh, you're doing great, God loves you, and in a while you'll get your job. That's not what you're going to get. Okay?
You're going to get truth and love. So is what.
And you're going to get the raw video to watch yourself, to watch and to hear your response.
And have we done a mock interview?